Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
State Treasurer David McRae has put hundreds of millions back into the hands of Mississippi citizens, expanding the state's affordable college and career savings program and also returning record amounts of unclaimed money. Check out how Treasurer David McRae's office can help you, your business, or your organization. Treasury.ms.gov.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in. You made it. You made it. It is, even though it's still Sunday, like 99% of you listen to this on Monday anyway. So I'm just going to go ahead and declare you made it. It's football week. You made it. The offseason, it's not over because there's not games for another month, but football is back. Not only do you have the Hall of Fame game coming up on Thursday, but more importantly, and why you guys are here tonight, your team, Ole Miss, is beginning training camp on Tuesday. Training camp is here. Players report tomorrow. They'll have media day and all that good stuff this week as well. And also, somebody starting school. So I am very depressed at the moment. Kidding. I'm actually very excited for him. I'm sad, but I'm very excited for him. So it's a big week all around. Hope you guys are here for it because football is back, and that's what we're talking about tonight. I don't want to fluff you guys. I don't want to pretend like there's all this stuff that we're going to learn during training camp because even though – here, I'll read you how they're described. There's not access to practice. And as a result, there's select practice periods. You'll get to see them stretch, do some individual stuff. Maybe if you're lucky, a tiny little bit of team. But they're not going to reveal much to the media. Not really, anyway. It's something that you're going to have to wait for the most part. And that's a frustrating thing, right? I would love to sit here and, you know, give you daily updates about certain competitions, specifically at running back, defensive backfield, stuff like that. But the reality is you're not going to get much, and that's okay. But there are some things that I think that we can learn, just not as much as you would hope that we could learn. College training camp and the NFL training camp, as you guys know and we talk about, is just not the same. It's just simply not the same. And you're not going to have any situations like you have where, like in Cleveland, I think it's ESPN Cleveland. I think that's who it is, has charted every single pass rep from every quarterback from training camp. Because you get to see it all. You don't get to see it all here. And as a result, there's only so much that we can learn. But there are some things. We'll talk about that tonight on this edition of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Really glad that you guys are here. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search the name and you will find them wherever you get them. And subscribe and leave a rating and a review. Also, if you're on YouTube. Sorry. Interesting. I got an email from Entergy saying my power was out. Doesn't look like it. So, hey, we'll see, guys. If I disappear, you know what happened. But Entergy just told me that my power is out, and they are aware that it is. But again, we're kicking, so who knows? Anyway, maybe it was a mistake. But also on YouTube, like, subscribe. Leave a comment, all that good stuff. This edition of the podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Check them out online before you go. Toyotaofbrookhaven.com. That's the website. And also, they're right off of exit 40 in Brookhaven. If you tell them I sent you, you get $1,000 on me. Any in-stock new Toyota before anything else. Literally before anything else. $1,000. Boom. On me. If you just tell them that I sent you, they have great in-house financing. Also, a great selection of used vehicles as well. And they're going to be ones that, unlike a different dealership in Mississippi that I bought my previous vehicle from, they'll actually, you know, do the checks to make sure that it's an adequate vehicle for you to purchase when you take it off the lot. They know the deal. They know it's a tough, the car buying experience is a difficult one, and they will take care of you because Toyota of Brookhaven just simply delivers. So what can we learn about training camp? The biggest question about this Ole Miss team, I think, in my opinion, it's 1A, 1B, and it's offensive line and defensive backs. It's 1A, 1B. It's offensive line, defensive backs, offensive line, defensive backs. We won't know how good they are at either position until with the backfield, it might not even be week two with Kentucky. But with the offensive line, you'll know, and you won't know anything else. You won't get real answers about how good they're on the offensive line until week two. And to be honest with you, I'm not really going to entertain it. I'm not going to entertain, oh, they've improved so much. No, I want to see you go prove it first. That is a position that, look, if things happen, if things break, if you get like some concrete information, if you get like who the starters are going to be, who is constantly running with the ones, we'll talk about that, right? If it's the same group of five that line up with the ones every day, we'll talk about that because that's a significant development. But I am not going to entertain these guys are improved stuff on the offensive line until they actually go on the field in a game and prove that. From a defensive back perspective, it's similar, I guess, but really personnel, like who is it going to be? I assume this week Lane Kiffin will talk on Tuesday. We will find out a little bit more about their plans at defensive back. There's possible, not possible, there's an injury there that we'll find out about on Tuesday. And you'll get to see really, you know, who's running with the ones. Is it, you know, are they all healthy and who is lining up with the ones, who's lining up with the twos? Sure, you learn something there. But as far as how well they're performing, I don't think you're going to get a great look of that until actually into the season. Those are cop-out answers, but that's honestly, it, guys, the truth. You're not going to know how good they are. And you're not going to get to hear from Pete Golding but one time. And that's it. I mean, it's just one time. And so you're not going to get to ask him every day, you know, has Braxton improved? What do you see from Sage Ryan? And so on and so forth, because of how insulated they keep information there. So those are two cop-out answers. What can we learn during training camp? If the answer is nothing, then Michael, what are you podcasting about? That's a good question. Running back is something that I think that we can learn about. They will be able to see, like, you can't hide Logan Diggs's health. You know, what does he look like? In the bowl game, it's not fair to judge. It was his first game action back from a significant knee injury, but looked like he was shaking rust off. I had somebody say to me, oh man, he looked explosive. And I was like, I didn't see explosive there. I saw a guy that was clearly in his first game action removed from a significant knee injury. So you get to see how he moves around. And then also, you know, who's running with the ones. You hear so much about Quan Lacy lately, and they're going to hide as much as they can, but that's a position where you'll get kind of a good idea of who among this. I mean, I guess it's kind of a three-horse race to see who's going to be RB1 for Ole Miss. That'll emerge, and that'll be significant. That's something that you can actually watch and pay attention to. Linebacker, who's going to play linebacker alongside of TJ Dottery? Is it going to be Taj Chambers? You hear good things about him. Is it going to be Jaden Yates? I don't know. But who is going to play alongside TJ Dottery at true linebacker? They portaled that. Which one of those portal guys has emerged and looks like they are getting the majority of first-team reps? I guess that's another thing. I'm waffling here, guys, because the answer, as Edward said in the chat, you won't really learn anything. Kiffin won't offer much. The periods that they show aren't going to be too much. You'll get a really good count, like from an injury perspective, like who's available and who's not. The tight end position is one, obviously, with the Haz injury. Did they move Caleb Odom there, and how does he look if, in fact, they moved him to tight end? There's also, I don't know if it's real or not, but there's some talk about a possible Daquan Wright injury as well. Again, I don't know if that's real or not, but things like that you get to learn. You'll get to see if Austin Simmons is in command, truly in command of the team and the offense, and what do practices look like with him being the quarterback, and does he look comfortable and confident in what he's doing? The answer is going to be probably yes. But this isn't the same as the NFL. This is, by design, a low information situation. You'll get to learn about personnel. You'll get to learn generally about who's running with the ones and who isn't, and you'll get to learn about health status. Otherwise, everything else is a wait and see. We're going to talk about it all as it goes, but everything else is going to be a wait and see, and it's going to get frustrating. I know our radio audience is going to, what are you hearing from training camp? Not much, guys. We can make stuff up for you, but is the offensive line going to be better? Ask me on September 6th. That's when we'll know. In the meantime, kick back, relax, enjoy the videos that you get. I'm a sucker for it. I watch them all. Every practice video I look at, I love football practice. Every Saints video, and I mean every single video of Saints practice I watch, I look at, I consume. It's fun talking about football. It's fun seeing football. But if you are looking for massive, sweeping takeaways about how good this team is going to be as a result of training camp, you are going to be wasting your time. I will be going to a few practices just to see for myself, get some video for you guys and some content for you guys. But again, if you're looking for that, you're not going to get it in a college training camp. That's just not how they operate things. And that's okay. Whatever. But what can we learn? Very, very little. Health, personnel. That's what we can learn. Otherwise, you just got to wait until the season starts. It's a cop-out answer, but that is the true and accurate answer. We'll get to your comments. That's the more entertaining thing. Right after I tell you, the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. If you're a Mississippi business, anywhere in Mississippi, and you need office technology, check them out at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs, and tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need, what your budget is, and they'll find a solution for you on me at Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. Also, Priority One Bank, to make you their priority. We've got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's likely to be one in your backyard, and they'll take care of you. They'll treat you like a person. They'll make you their priority. They've got local loan servicing and decision-making. Their online banking platform is great. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. Not late this time? No. No, I was not right on time. Good to see you, Jerry, in Pascagoula. We will be down that way. Haydad and I will. Here, let me tell you when. Haydad and I will be on the coast. Let's see. Month of August. Thursday the 21st, we will be in Perkinson at Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College. I believe that's like the Meet the Teams Day, I believe is what that's for. So we'll be down there. I don't think it's a public remote though, Jerry. I think they have us like inside of a building. So unfortunately, I would tell you to come by, but I don't think that they'd let you in the door. But I'm excited to be down to the coast. I love the Mississippi Gulf Coast. It is one of the more underrated parts of the South, especially. I really like Ocean Springs in particular, but I love it down there. So I'm excited to get down there. We don't get to do it enough. Going to be hard to learn stuff from training camp with the way everyone keeps things under wraps, no doubt. in the ER. What are you doing? Hope you're okay, Jerry. Hope you're okay. It's as simple as we won't learn anything worthwhile until the game at Lexington at 2:30 on ABC. No kidding. Game doesn't start in real consequence until September 6th. Sure as hell beats waiting 4 weeks, you know, you only, or 5 weeks, I guess, four and a half, whatever it was last year, whatever you want to count, four BS games. And then, you know, Kentucky, at least Kentucky's in week two. Evening. Good to see you, Brad. See that stuff about Deion Sanders' health. Hopefully that ends up okay. Yeah, it's an odd deal calling a press conference with medical personnel present. That kind of strikes me as, maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. Retirement, medical retirement. I've been as critical as anybody because I think that they've earned it. There is a sideshow associated with Colorado football. Retiring Shador's jersey was a joke, right? I mean, just an absolute joke. The way that the media covered the program was a joke, specifically ESPN, a complete joke. Taking Colorado from one win to 9 wins in 2 years is pretty damn good. I mean, there's no other way around it. That's really good. He is an interesting character in college football, and whether you love him or you hate him, he is interesting. And college football, you know, sports need characters like him. And so if he retires, that I think that kind of stinks because he has made Colorado relevant, and there are very few programs in the power leagues less relevant than Colorado. We're getting weird this summer, I guess. Just had a girl at this pool invite me to her apartment. She has 6 cats and karate kicked my friend's phone into the pool. I'm not sure there's any hope left. Well, buddy, it sounds like you're in for a great night, though. I mean, let me know how it goes. Congratulations, I guess. Any updates on Logan Diggs' health? No, that's something, one of the few things that you'll learn is how he's moving around. Physically, just what does he look like? You know, does he look healthy? Does he look like an SEC running back again? The team faces injury situations like the 23 team did to start the year. I don't know if starting 4-0 is a safe bet at all. Yeah. Part of me wants to think that Tulane's the most difficult game of their first four, but I don't know. Talen Green is going to be a problem for some people. He's going to give Ole Miss fits that day, I think. Everybody, he's going to be in the Petrino offense, Talen Green is going to bother people because Arkansas is going to be bad otherwise, but they're going to be schemed well, and they have a good athlete at quarterback, and he's just going to annoy people. If you think Arkansas is just going to be a walkthrough, I've got some bad news for you. Best we'll get against Georgia State is a depth chart and playing time. Pretty much. I would love the over, though. The over and Ole Miss, whatever the points are. What is it, 32? Yeah, Ole Miss minus the points in the over. Austin Simmons is going to be throwing passes into the fourth quarter of that game. Would love to see a college football-wide rule change that mandates a majority of open practices. The helmet headsets help with sign stealing. Yeah, and, you know, I'm so weary of the, well, if you have open practices, players are going to get tampered with, as if the only thing that is causing tampering is practice video. I can't stand this. That's a bad excuse to me. Dabo Swinney seems to be fine at Clemson, and the whole can't have a spring game because of tampering is a cop-out. It's college football coaches are paranoid, and they've always been paranoid. The paranoia is not new. It's not portal era created. They've always been paranoid. Where I think college football is failing, and you don't see any evidence today. And, you know, Neil McCready replied or quoted me on Twitter, and you know, the ratings say that he is correct. that it might just be too big to fail, that college football, it's impossible for it to fail. And all the evidence points to him being right and not me being right in this, because attendance, fine. Ratings, up. So clearly all the stuff happening has not tuned people out because they're still watching. So he's probably right. Where I come at this from, though, is the difference between the NFL and college. And to me, the biggest difference is the way that the NFL engages their fans. And college is taking away more and more reasons to engage with your team. I know the spring game wasn't particularly well attended. Like, nobody but Ohio State, and even they don't sell out spring games. Alabama didn't put 105,000 people in their stadium for a spring game, but they put 60 plus. But the spring game was something that allowed you, the fan, to engage with your team, to watch your team, to read about your team, to listen to podcasts about your team, to consume with them, to learn about them. And if you had a free Saturday, to drive into town and go eat at your favorite spot and grab a beer and watch your football team scrimmage and take little Johnny down to get an autograph. And that was just something that you could consume that was real, right? It was tangible. Well, those are gone. No more spring games. So you can't do that. So in April or May or whenever your team had your spring game, that doesn't happen anymore. So there's one fewer time to engage with your team. Even things like signing day. So the December signing period happens during the season, really. When it was in February, there was no college football game. So it was an extra time, even though recruiting's different now, of course. But still, if it happened in February or after the season, in January, whenever, if it was after the season, if it wasn't in the middle of playoff game week, then or SEC championship game week, then it would be just another thing for you to touch and feel as a fan to consume. Open practices, those are no more. They're gone. So here's another thing that, I mean, fans didn't go to in mass, but some fans did go to. And reporters got to see more than just stretching. You got to see team drills, and you got to see a real practice, and you got a real practice report, and fans got to read it and learn about their team tangibly, like a real thing. The NFL, basically 11 months out of the year, gives their fans something to grab onto. They let March be college basketball's thing. But training camp begins in July. And it goes, you have training camp, and then all of those, not all of them, but most of them are open to fans and media, so you get all kinds of content and videos. I mean, you've got Vikings players doing the skull chant with their fans. You've got Alvin Kamara getting saying happy birthday to by his fans, you know? And so all that happens, and then preseason games happen, and then the season runs until February. And then they let March be college basketball month, and then they have the combine in April, and they have the draft in May, and they have OTAs and mini camp in June, training camp in July, and the cycle continues. And it's always there's always something for you to consume as a fan of an NFL team. There's always something. In college football, they're taking all of those things away from you. There's fewer and fewer opportunities to truly engage with your football team. And I think down the road, maybe not in 5 years or 10 years, but eventually it's going to catch up to college football, because there's fewer opportunities to fall in love with your team. What, maybe it's not me, or maybe it's just me, maybe it's not everybody. When I was a kid, what really drew me to sports was not the game. It was the stuff around the game. It was, I mean, I'll never forget the day, that Furman poster back there. I talk about Furman too much, but still, that one right there. Louis Ivory and Will Boughton signed that poster. I don't remember what happened in the game. But I remember taking that program down on the field after they beat Western Kentucky. I don't remember a single play from the game, but I remember getting to meet both of them and having them sign that program. That is what gets young people to fall in love with their football program. It's that stuff. It's not just taking them to a game and sitting 60 rows up where they can barely see. It's getting high-fived on the Walk of Champions by the quarterback. It's that stuff. That's what it is. That's how you get people to fall in love with you. And college football is really taking liberties with people's commitment to it. I don't like the direction that it's headed because there's fewer and fewer things for you to engage with and touch and feel. I mean, we're sitting here. I mean, I bet Neil and Chase in the morning will say the same thing that, hey, look, training camps this week, we're not going to see much. You know, we'll report what we see. We'll give you the press conferences and talk about what Lane says, but there's not going to be much for you to see. That's what they're going to say. And that's, I think that college football is not failing because players are getting paid. Or the failure in college football is not the players getting paid. The failure is not allowing you to connect with your players in the way that you used to be able to. Anyway. Oh, gosh. Oh, Bo, that's a good question. Top five celebrity hottie totties. Ooh, I have no idea. Because to be honest with you, I don't know who all's done it over the years. I mean, Betty White has to be up there. I mean, she might be my favorite. I know that's crazy. But wish list of celebrities to do it. I'm a golf guy. I think Tiger Woods doing it would be cool. Gosh, who would be on my wish list to do that? That's a really good question. I need to come back to that. That's a really good question. Who would be on my wish list to do that? That's a really good question. I don't know. Got nothing of substance to talk about with the football team, just in wait and see mode. No kidding. Going to the Braves game Saturday at Bristol Motor Speedway. Hell yeah. Would love for Ole Miss to be involved in a novelty game like that. Dublin would be awesome. I have a friend that went to the Tennessee-Virginia Tech football game that was played at Bristol. And he said people were trying to watch on their phones from inside the game. Because they couldn't see. Yes, I mean, dude, seeing Ole Miss play football at Bristol would be so cool. That would be so cool. Enjoy yourself. The baseball setup there looks just awesome. I'll watch. 100% I'm going to watch. Do I think it's a make or break year for the Ole Miss offensive line coach? It should be. It absolutely should be. The offensive line's been a weak spot, as you know. He also has a problem getting offensive line recruits. That's the biggest issue that I have. As you look around at what they're recruiting, and their biggest weakness on the team is the position that they recruit the worst. It's not good. And yeah, this needs to be his last life. This he's a cat, and this is life number 9. Needs to be. Offensive line between coaches and players has been the most puzzling position under Lane Kiffin outside the running back fiasco last year. Yeah. Last year was easily their worst offensive line. Has update. We'll get it Tuesday. I've heard nothing different than from what we've talked about last time, but we'll find out for sure on Tuesday. They did they had that tight end team picture. I forget where they are. The position group they took a picture together. I don't know where they were eating. And he had crutches on his lap. And I think they were trying to hide them, but didn't do a very good job of it. So I think Kentucky has to be the most difficult because the spot Lane's teams have struggled all 3 times against Stoops teams. Yeah, I do have a feeling, though, this is going to be one of those games where they're going to be so well prepared to play in that game because I have a feeling. I mean, look, Lane Kiffin is aware of what is said online, as you guys know, as you can tell. I imagine that whole program is pretty sick of hearing about how they lost to Kentucky last year. Just like Alabama, if you bet on one college football game this year, take Alabama and the points against Vanderbilt in Tuscaloosa. Take Alabama and the points. That game is – oh, that's after they play at Georgia, though. But still, on October 4th in Tuscaloosa, take Alabama and the points. See Arkansas getting high scoring, like 42-30 type game. I agree with that. Kentucky's going to be god-awful if their revenue share numbers are true. Yeah, from a roster perspective, they're in really bad shape. They're in really bad shape. You like 9-3? That is where I have fallen. I think they'll have a serviceable defensive line like they typically do. Offensively terrible, but if you let them hang around, they can beat Ole Miss. Look at 22 in last year. Escaped one and not the other. Kentucky, that is, yeah. Need more creativity on offense. Miss Lebby's creativity. Sorry, big yawn there. Any odds Arkansas could be worse on defense than Mississippi State? Yeah, there's a chance. There's a chance. What could be the main reason the SEC doesn't want Florida State? Their television partner has told them that Florida State does not bring in enough revenue to justify their move. That's what it's all about. I mean, fit matters to a degree, but it's money. If the fit is perfect, but Disney says, I'm not giving you more money for this team, team's not getting in. It's exclusively about money. So if, in fact, if that is true, which I don't know if it is, but if that's true and the SEC does not want Florida State, it's because they have been told that Florida State does not generate enough revenue to justify their addition. Texas and Oklahoma, their additions raised the finances for every team in the SEC. Florida State may not do that. Does Clemson over Florida State? I don't know. But that would be the main reason. Every question you have about college sports, just go back to money. And you're probably right. Didn't get into college football until a little later than some, but your first game was Ole Miss BYU in 2011. Horrible football game. After that, your first real experience was the 2012 Egg Bowl. You were bought in that night. That was one hell of a night. The Feed Moncrief song and all that stuff, that was something. Play golf weekly with a guy that went to Furman. His dad used to be 80 there. That's awesome. That's awesome. Tell them I said what's up and F you all the time. Because that's what they say there. Tommy Tuberville, Hottie Toddy's obviously number one. Oh, yeah. What a disaster that was. Any Happy Gilmore 2 reviews? I'd be happy to. Pun not intended, but oh well. Here we are. I've read some reviews where I don't know what some people expected this movie to be. I really don't know. Like, did you think that Adam Sandler was going to try to win an Oscar with Happy Gilmore 2? I don't understand. It was always going to be, I mean, it's 30 years removed from the original. It was always going to be just kind of a goof off with Adam Sandler and his friends to, you know, call back to maybe the best movie that they ever made with some fun cameos and just like a cool turn your brain off for 2 hours and just watch a movie type movie. And I thought it was perfect for what I was expecting it to be. If you expected it to be as good as the first one, that's on you. I really liked the player cameos in particular. Scheffler, spoiler alert, going to jail was really funny. Zalatoris was the best one because, you know, the jokes have been made forever about how he looks like Happy Gilmore's caddy from the first one. And so getting to play Happy Gilmore's caddy was really funny. Xander was funny that's what she said and, like, they don't apply. I loved the players. I thought the players might have been the funniest part, the PGA Tour players. Justin Thomas, like being paparazzi for him. I loved like every player. I loved their cameos a lot. And yeah, it was a movie that depended on callbacks from the previous one. That was an absolute hit, but I laughed a few times. I thought the Maxi Golf League thing was way over the top. They stretched that too far. They could have dialed that back some. That got a little goofy. But I enjoyed it. I laughed. I thought it was a funny movie. And I really love the first Happy Gilmore, and I love golf. And Travis Kelce was really funny as well. His character was great. I don't know, man. I like, I'm smiling thinking about it. You don't want to overthink modern Sandler movies. Just turn your brain off and watch, you know? And it checked all the boxes for me, personally. It's goofy. It was kind of dumb. I was surprised that the Liv players agreed to be in it when they are taking not so veiled shots at the concept of Liv, like the golf but louder. That's kind of what they were making fun of, and you had a bunch of Liv players participating in that. I was a little surprised by that, but I really liked it for what it is, right? As long as you went in with the right expectations. Snoop Dogg and Russell Crowe were good ones. Hulk Hogan did it one time. Yes, he did. Yes, I did ask Greg Sankey about fan access. I will cut those answers because it was a long interview. And political commentator Richard Cross was also sitting in on that interview. And but I did. I asked three different questions about fan engagement and interest and involvement. And I will splice those together and play those for you on here. For some reason, you remember Charlie Day doing one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was funny. He partied his tail off that day as well. I think Diego Pound takes a big step forward this year. They just need those two guys to be healthy. Both tackles, man. Both tackles are fine when healthy. But the problem is they have to be in shape and healthy. So long developing pass plays were a problem last year. I think I said this before to you guys, but I thought the Gruden interview with Jackson Dart was validating for those of us that question that Ole Miss didn't use a short passing game to alleviate some pressure on the offensive line. I thought it was validating because, you know, we questioned it. I know you did because I remember you commenting and I did. And it was like, you know, of course, Lane Kiffin knows more about football than we do. And so does Charlie Weiss Jr. But if you have offensive line issues, you have Juice Wells and you're throwing him on these vertical routes, but he thrives in space. Why aren't you getting the ball out fast? And they never really did, and it never made sense. And to hear a Super Bowl winning coach say, "Why the hell don't you guys throw short passes at Ole Miss?" was validating. It was like, okay, we're not crazy here. Gruden sees that something was flawed in the offense as well. If Levy is gone after this year, would Lane bring him back? Could he? Sure. Would he? No. Nope. That was not a pretty breakup. Not Lane Levy. Levy Ole Miss was not necessarily the cleanest breakup. So Miami doesn't bring enough revenue? Oh, no. Miami, I don't think, would really do anything for the SEC. That sounds crazy, I know, because in the 90s and early 2000s, Miami was that deal. But that they, to me, Miami adds nothing to the SEC. That they don't draw great viewership organically. That they don't have a large and dedicated fan base. They have some brand power, but it's – no, I don't think Miami enhances the brand power of the conference in the way that – couple other schools in the SEC do. Is there some kind of win total Lebby needs just to get through year two unscathed? It's definitely not five. Frankly, I think anything more than two, and he's coming back. Anything more than two. Because you simply cannot have a coach in Joe Moorhead that you fired after 2 years. And then I know the circumstances, but still, Arnett fired after 1 year and then his replacement fired after 2 years. You can't do that. That is destroying your own job. So it's got to be an absolute disaster again. Legacy sequels are pretty lazy outside of Top Gun Maverick and Blade Runner. Top Gun Maverick is, I mean, aside from like Lord of the Rings, and you can't count those as sequels, right? Because it's a trilogy. That's different. Top Gun Maverick is a amazing sequel, considering how hard they are. Yeah. It's awesome. Don't really like most of Adam Sandler's movies outside the first few in the 90s, but they're relatively harmless at the same time, just brainless entertainment. Exactly, and that's what this one was. I mean, his wife and his kids are in the movie. Like, I don't know. I like Sandler, and I grew up on those. I mean, Happy Gilmore, Big Daddy, The Waterboy, Little Nicky. You know, those were like the racy movies when I was growing up. So Sandler's humor and like the first stand up I've ever heard was Sandler. So like I've always been kind of a big fan of his, impartial to his stuff. Most of his movies lately have been not for me, but yeah, mindless entertainment. They are exactly what they sell themselves to be and nothing more. I really enjoyed, what was it, Hustle, though, the basketball movie? Yeah, Hustle. If you guys haven't seen Hustle, it's also on Netflix. I thought it was out, like, I truly enjoyed, like, quality sports movie. It's about a scout for the 76ers that finds a player in Spain. And he tries to bring him to the States and get him to play in the NBA. And the basketball scenes are awesome because they used current NBA players to do the basketball scenes. So the quality of the actual gameplay in the basketball movie is quite good. And it's a little bit more serious. So it's not just like a goof-off movie. Like I love Hustle, actually. I think it's a great movie. But like his comedies, his modern comedies, not good. This one was fine. This one was absolutely fine. Bad Bunny was actually great as the caddy. Yeah, he was. He was really funny. He was really funny. We'll say of the three games they lost last year, the LSU one was probably where they should have gotten the win the most. Felt like they peed down their leg more than anything. Yeah, they completely choked that game. No, the Lebby deal is not just because he left for Oklahoma. It was an odd breakup. Let's just put it, it was just an odd deal. Some bad taste was left behind. Not because of going to Oklahoma. Florida loss was frustrating because they're simply outcoached, felt so gettable. You know. To this day, still watch a Lord of the Rings movie or a Hobbit movie to go to sleep. And, you know, those movies are two decades old. And visually, they are so much better looking than movies of a similar genre that comes out today. There were two people whose entire job for a year and a half was to hand make the chainmail that they wore in those movies. You don't hear of that happening anymore. Like that's not a thing anymore. That attention to detail doesn't exist anymore. There's a documentary about the making of the Lord of the Rings movies. Two people Every day, that was their job, to make chainmail for the movies. For a year and a half, that's all they did. They're built different. Do you think Kiffin learned from last season and the team will bounce back as well, similar to the 2014 after the Auburn debacle? Yeah, see, 23 was a really good coaching job. So you hope that there's a little bit of that mixed in here as well. Haven't seen Lord of the Rings in like 15 years, but just got the extended editions recently, and you're going to watch them soon. Oh, man, you are so lucky. The extended versions, there are so many things that are in the extended versions that you just wish were in the theatrical release, but don't watch them tired. You got to be locked in the whole time because the detail is unbelievable. CGI still looks better than anything being made today. It's because they actually built, they built the, not the locations, like they filmed in New Zealand, but like Helm's Deep, they built it. It's not just CGI garbage. They physically built the location. And the stuff that they actually did CGI, the detail in it is just different, but I love how it's supposed to be a sports podcast. We're talking about Lord of the Rings, but who cares? It's July 27th. Wasn't big on The Hobbit, but loved Lord of the Rings. Yeah, The Hobbit movies. So they made three movies out of one book for The Hobbit. That should have been one movie. Maybe two. But they didn't need three for that. They needed more movies for Lord of the Rings than three. Maybe they could have done four. And I don't know how you do that because it's, you know, a certain number of books, but those should have had either been longer or had two parts or something. I don't know. You guys still got me? Théoden was great in The Hobbit, though. He was awesome. He was absolutely awesome. So, anyway, any update on who's taking the Kelvin Bolden role? No, they haven't replaced anybody yet. I think they're taking their time there, to be honest with you. So, anyway, but lost the camera and I got to run anyway. So, I don't know what happened here, fellas, but that's okay as long as you can still hear me. But yes, training camp this week, media day will be on Tuesday. That'll be at 2:00 for those of you that are interested in watching it. Here we go. Check, check, check. Yeah, okay. Sorry. I will cut some of what Kiffin says and play it for you. So we'll do that on Tuesday. And practice is here. Football is here, and yes, for those of you that asked, a couple of you here, yes, I'll be watching the Hall of Fame game on Thursday. Are you kidding me? Absolutely. But see you guys on Tuesday with the first training camp conversation of the year. See y'all then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.